Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. Great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to 1 Corinthians again, but before we turn to our passage, let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask that You would give us clarity of thought, that we might hear Your Word and be blessed by it, encouraged and built up and sanctified. That we might understand the glorious supper that You've given us. Just a bit more today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, picking up at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, also He took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Well, yesterday we talked about the problem that was going on in Corinth. Paul addresses the issue. Now he provides the alternative. He provides the correction. First he corrects by highlighting what's wrong. Now he explains what's right, what they ought to be doing, how the Lord's Supper ought to be being celebrated in their midst. And as he does that, we can't unfortunately unpack the entirety of everything there is to know about the Lord's Supper from just this text, but we can see a few things that are happening in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a thing very dear to all of us. It's a thing that's dear to our hearts. And yet, often, maybe I'm wrong, but often we can go through the motion of celebrating it without really thinking much about what's going on. What are we doing when we celebrate the Lord's Supper? And I want to suggest and just note three things in this text that we see that we're doing when we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper at church. Firstly, we partake. Firstly, we are partaking when we come to the Lord's Supper. And so we see this spoken of in three places. Firstly, in verse 23 and 24, Jesus takes the bread, breaks it, and gives it to them and says, This is My body for you. Then in verse 25, He takes the cup, He pours it out, He gives it to them and says, Drink it. Then down in verse 26, He says, As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you ... So here we see that as you come to the table, you're partaking. Now, I know you're thinking, wow, whoop-de-doo, we eat and drink. It's pretty obvious. But it's more than just eating and drinking, isn't it? Because you do that at home. You drink juice or coffee or whiskey or whatever it is you drink in your own home. You eat bread and chips and bacon and all sorts of different things. But none of those things are the Lord's Supper. There's something different about the partaking going on here. In fact, it's so different that in the past, the reformers in France, the ministers there, were willing to be put to death rather than partake in a Catholic communion. Have that for a thought in the back of your mind. They were willing to be whipped, flogged, beaten, and yes, put to death rather than eat bread and wine from a Catholic priest. Why? Because of the view that the Catholics have. Now, there's maybe the best way to summarize it. We can't dig into it in depths, but there's four different views of how we understand what we're partaking, what we're eating and drinking. From one end, we have the Catholic view, which is that when you eat and drink the bread and wine, Jesus is re-sacrificed, the priest re-sacrifices Jesus, and you actually eat the physical flesh, and drink the actual blood. It's magically, for lack of a better word, magically turned into it. Next along the list is the Lutheran view. It's not that the bread and wine actually gets turned into the physical blood and flesh of Jesus, but when you eat it, you spiritually actually eat Jesus, or something like that. I find the Lutheran view the most challenging to figure out and understand, and so if I got it wrong, you have to forgive me. The view on the other end, and I'm skipping one because that's my view, the view on the other end is that when you eat and drink, all you're eating and drinking is bread and wine, and there's nothing more to it. So the question to ask is, in what way is Jesus Christ present in the bread and wine when we partake? And the fourth view, which is the view that we might call the Reformed view, what is commonly called the spiritual presence view, or the real presence view, is that when we partake, when we eat and drink, we are partaking of Christ, but we are partaking in a spiritual reality. What we are partaking of is Christ himself as our sacrifice. We're partaking in all that he's achieved. We are entering into the reality. It's not just bread and wine, because by faith we partake in the completed sacrifice and atonement of Jesus Christ. We come and feast upon him, but not upon his body, but upon all that he's achieved, upon his person and work. Very quickly, you have to unpack, you have to do some reading if you want to know more than that. So very firstly, we partake. Secondly, the second thing that we see going on here is that we are celebrating a remembrance. Have a look with me very quickly. Verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. And then in verse 25 towards the end, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Now, the way this commonly works out in our minds, and maybe you've thought about it this way, is I remember. I remember the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me. That is not what we're talking about here. This is not just an opportunity for you to sit and remember the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus has made for you, though it's good to do that. It's something far more significant than that. It's a remembrance. Did you notice that? Jesus doesn't say, do this and remember me. He says, do this as a remembrance. There is a subtle but very significant difference. And the easiest way I find to illustrate this is using a marriage, using a wedding, and specifically, if I can get it off my finger, using my wedding ring. Now, am I given a wedding ring to help me remember that I'm married? No, I'm not. Why? Because there's something wrong with me if I forget I'm married, right? I don't forget that I'm married. No, the wedding ring is a symbol, a remembrance of the fact that I am married. It is a sign and seal. It is a picture, a visible picture of the reality that I have entered into a covenant with my wife. And that's the way we eat and drink and celebrate a remembrance. Every time we eat and drink, we are having a remembrance that we have entered into fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ, and therefore the Godhead, that we have been welcomed into covenant with him. It is a visible picture of everything that Christ has done for us. So when we celebrate it, we don't just go, oh, that's right, I forgot that Jesus died for me. No, we don't. We take it and we eat it and drink it as a remembrance, as a picture of all that Christ has done for us. And that's how we celebrate it. Thirdly, we're going to have to be quicker on this one. Thirdly, it's a proclamation. So Paul says, or Jesus says, verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death. Every single time we eat and drink, there's another thing we do, and that is we proclaim the sacrifice of Christ. Why is this important? Because every time we celebrate, there is a distinction made between believers and unbelievers. This is one of the reasons I always address the unbelievers when I lead the Lord's Supper. This is why we address the unbelievers and say, you need to repent and come to Christ. So we're proclaiming two realities. One, that Christ died to save sinners, and two, one day he's coming back again. And so here we see three different aspects of the Lord's Supper that we're doing as we come to partake together. You need to think a bit deeper. Don't come shallowly to the Lord's Supper and think, hey, I'm just going to eat and drink some stuff. Think deeper. What's going on here? The deeper you can get your mind around everything that's going on the Lord's Supper, the greater your joy and delight and fellowship and celebration will be in the act of partaking. And may God grant us to have that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful truth, this glorious picture that we've received. And we pray that you would help us to be rich in devotion and knowledge as we come to your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me again. I will see you back here tomorrow afternoon.